This is the Monday edition of the Bet the Board podcast here on November 3rd. Hopefully all you loyal listeners are out there basking in the glow of a dominating Dolphins victory, as Mr. Payne Insider so eloquently predicted on Thursday. Payne, a job well done for a team in your backyard yet again.
Yeah, we've been pretty lights out when it comes to the Dolphins this year. I do not believe we've been on a losing side. I know the Packers game got a little tight pending the number, but we got 3.5 early in the week. But other than that, I think we haven't lost a side play on the Dolphins yet this year.
Nope, as compared to the Jets, where I don't think we've won on the Jets yet this year, which is a reason that I'm imposing another week-long ban where we won't discuss anything about the New York football Jets. Much to Dickie Salvatore's chagrin, we won't talk about the Jets yet again or acknowledge their existence in the NFL. But when we look through the results from a busy Sunday yet again, anything that really jumps off the page, a particular game or team that you wanted to start with as we go through some of our learnings from yesterday?
Well, I think the easy team to kind of bash is the San Francisco 49ers, and I think it's well-deserved. I know a lot of people, a lot of sharp guys, especially out west, talked about this team early in the season having internal issues, and it doesn't look like those internal issues have subsided at all. You have a bye week to prepare. You're facing a St. Louis team that's just horrific on the defensive side of the ball. And you muster 260 yards and 10 points. It's very bleak what's going on there right now. The offensive line was horrific, to say the least, this week. They can't figure out what they're doing at the receiver position. It's kind of like there's too much talent there. So there's no chemistry between Kaepernick and his wideouts because it's kind of a revolving door there. It's just a team that's an absolute mess right now, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, where this team goes moving forward.
Yeah, you talk about San Francisco and their struggles. You've already seen that reflected in their number going to New Orleans next week. San Francisco is a three-point dog on the look-ahead line. That number now out to 4. Of course, we'll get to those in a little more detail shortly. For those folks just tuning in, though, who want to hear about the Monday night game between the Colts and Giants, if you're unfamiliar with our format, we try and break down everything for the week that was already played, and we'll preview that Monday night game at the end of the podcast. You talk about the 49ers and some of their struggles, Payne. May as well stay in that same division and address a team who's been a bit of a surprise at 7-1, leading the NFC West by a couple of games now, the Arizona Cardinals. You look at their advanced metrics, you look at offense, defense. This team clearly not as good as their record indicates, but they find ways to go out and win each and every week, and more importantly for our purposes, cover the number.
Yeah, we talked about this team last week, and I think, you know, you just have to give Bruce Arians all the credit in the world. There's no doubt about it. In my mind, he's the mixed personality. He's got the rah-rah. He gets his players going, so to speak. Got the Rex Ryan in him in terms of motivating his teams, but he's also got the X's and O's covered. And it's just a killer dynamic there going on. And they're just not that good, and he just seems to get everything out of them. I know this was a spot that I had circled to kind of move in on Dallas, and we had a great situation with them losing on Monday night. Unfortunately, Tony Romo gets out, and to me, we weren't able to play that spot. Now, I know a lot of sharp groups came in when it got to Arizona as a favorite, and they got on Dallas. I just couldn't get myself to do it, but at some point, the market is going to overvalue this team. And I hate to move on St. Louis this week, third road game in as many weeks, but this would probably be the spot if St. Louis didn't win their Super Bowl last week.
Yeah, that's what makes it tricky. St. Louis coming in off that win, getting revenge against San Francisco, makes it a very difficult spot. And the one thing in that box score against the 49ers, it wasn't their defense that was problematic. I know we addressed their offensive issues. The Rams only picked up 13 first downs and Austin Davis, 105-yard performance. But when we talk about Arizona, we may as well talk about the team that they beat down there in Big D, the Dallas Cowboys. You've already seen a huge shift in the market, albeit only a couple books have the number up for Dallas's trip across the pond against Jacksonville. Looking at Dallas, a four-point favorite for that game against the Jags. But what do we do with the Cowboys in terms of approaching this football team, given how bad Brandon Weeden looked as a starting quarterback yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough to get behind Brandon Weeden. I think we know what he is at this point in time. The issues in the offseason, not being able to come to terms with Kyle Orton, it looks like it's going to play a huge factor moving forward, depending on how long Romo is going to be out. All indications are that he might not even travel to London. So it's going to be Weeden or nobody else unless they go and potentially wheel and deal and make a move there. But this is a Dallas team. I know everybody was waiting for them to implode, and this is a great excuse to say, hey, we were right. But I have a weird feeling that they somehow rally the troops and get a big win in London. I know Jacksonville, everyone will look at it and say, hey, you know, they're supposed to do that. But when you have Brandon Whedon under center, nothing is easy in the NFL.
Well, that's for sure. As we saw there, Dallas got off to a 10-0 lead, and we're actually a -350 favorite for live game betting. Offered an outstanding opportunity for any folks that missed the boat on Arizona beforehand and weren't able to grab the three. For a team that, you know, money line betting, in-game betting, I mean, you didn't matter how many points you had, you weren't getting to the window with the San Diego Chargers. Now, fortunately, the bye week comes at a perfect time for a Charger team struggling to find their identity, a far cry from the side we saw that started the year 5-0 against the spread. But how do we look at San Diego and their prospects going forward, especially in a division now where they appear to be the third-best team, not only behind Denver, but also behind the Kansas City Chiefs?
Fortunately, you get Oakland coming out of the bye, and that's a winnable game. You get St. Louis. That's a very winnable game. So easily your momentum can turn just like that. It looks like Ryan Matthews will be back, and that's a welcomed addition to that offense. They have to get the ground game going, and that was one of the angles we looked at in this Dolphins game. When you have the front four that the Dolphins have, and you're going to just line up, put Rivers in the shotgun all day long, it's just not going to work. So they have to get the ground game going, and so Ryan Matthews is going to be a huge addition. And again, if you can potentially get these two wins at home where they'll be favored in both contests, the momentum will start to turn in their favor. I think they'll be okay in the end. That game last week 17 at Kansas City could decide who potentially gets a wild card and coming out of that division.
Should definitely be interesting, and I guess we should have to give credit to the Dolphins for their dominant performance, beating the Chargers 37-0. I know I sent a tweet out during that game talking about how the sharp guys have been on the Dolphins for over a month now, the general public finally catching up. Of course, the snarky responses I got in return were, yes, those are the same sharp guys that have backed the Jets religiously along with the Jaguars. Thankfully, Jacksonville was able to get to the window if you had them plus 11. But Miami, I mean, you know this team inside and out. Ryan Tannehill looked outstanding for another performance, but a very difficult test when they go on the road and take on the Lions this week. Detroit will be rested for that game, and you've seen the number react. Miami was listed as a 3.5-point underdog going into the weekend. Now that number has ticked below the key number of 3. Detroit, a 2.5-point favorite, the big story to keep an eye on here. Hopefully the return of Calvin Johnson to that Lions passing attack.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. Obviously not an ideal spot for Miami. Detroit gets healthy, I believe. They're off the bye week. And really, when you get a big win like that, now you're traveling to a non-conference foe. I don't know how focused they'll be in this spot. Nick Fairley, I think, is a big loss for Detroit and what they're doing up front. But if they're able to stop the Dolphins, and the Dolphins have been very good, over 130 yards average on the ground this year, if they're able to make Ryan Tannehill beat them, that's the way that you got to beat the Miami Dolphins. So it'll be an interesting game. I think Detroit's probably the side at anything less than 3. And this is a game, when you look at probably, you know, the rest of their season, they got a tough road. You face Denver, you face Baltimore, a team that's physical, that they don't match up well. You go to New England, and they're looking for revenge. You get two games against the Jets. Now, I know everybody will say, who are the Jets? But it's a tight division game. It's one of their biggest rivals. And unfortunately, now they have to face them twice with Percy Harvin. So I don't know, the schedule isn't very easy moving forward for the Dolphins.
Are the Jets still an NFL team?
I believe so, and my guess is a lot of the sharp guys will be on them again this week. We've already seen some money enter the market. We saw that open 5.5 at Chris, and it's already down to 4.
So yeah, simply amazing the opportunities and some of the bad teams that the professionals will go to the window with week after week. A bad team that's 0-8, but the professionals had no problems backing this past weekend, the Oakland Raiders. Yes, they were down 24-3 at halftime against Seattle. Somehow barnstormed back in that game, outscoring the defending champs 21-6 on the highway. I guess I'll throw an open-ended question. What do you make of Oakland, given that performance and the never-say-die attitude, and more importantly, Seattle, for not having that killer instinct, being able to squash what should be an inferior opponent?
I think that's a perfect example of the game that sets professionals apart from the recreational better. The point spread is the great equalizer, and when you look at an 0-8 team and you look at the defending Super Bowl champions, yes, the record, when you look at the standings on ESPN, appear to be vastly different. But when it comes to the betting market, you're looking at an Oakland team that has a far better ATS record than Seattle does. And that's what you need to look at. The spread is the great equalizer. And we've talked about Tony Sperano might not be the best X's and O's guys, but he gets his guys to play their huevos off for him. And even though they're not winning these games, it's a never-say-die attitude. And we talked about this. The Jets, we haven't seen that from them. So you got to praise Tony Sperano getting the guys to rally around and at least putting that effort forward. They could have easily packed it in. On the flip side, we've seen with Seattle is they just lack weapons. They play old-school football. It's 3 yards here, 3 yards there, not a ton of weapons. And they get rid of Percy Harvin. There's really no playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, and it looks like the defense has regressed a little bit. I think the NFC is wide open. It really is. I don't see a clear-cut contender that is going to represent the NFC right now. And the way the Saints are playing, we talked about this earlier, might be the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, New Orleans, a team that has 3 straight home games coming up, seems to have found an identity. And we talk about it all the time in the NFL. It's not how you play to start the season. It's figuring out who you are as a football team. And being able to address some of those weaknesses throughout the course of the year. You talk about New Orleans, if they're able to get the big win this weekend against San Francisco, it could set the tone for a huge second half for a team that you could have had at 40-1, even as high as 50-1 going into that Sunday night game against Green Bay. And of course, apropos of Sunday night, my God, Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers, 12 touchdown passes over the last 2 weeks. This was a team who needed a 2.5-minute flurry to avoid getting beat at home by the Houston Texans 3 weeks ago. But where has this offense come from the Steelers? The easy response is, yes, Martavis Bryant, but something else appears to have clicked as Pittsburgh right now sits at 6-3 and all of a sudden is in a dogfight for the division while the Ravens fall to dead last in the hotly contested AFC North.
It was an interesting game. Didn't watch all of it, but it seems feast or famine for that offense. Either Big Ben's on his tookus getting sacked, or he's able to, if he does get the time, able to find someone deep down the field. You really have to admire what Pittsburgh's doing. I don't think they're a great football team, but they're doing enough to win games. They're finding themselves in good spots and situations. This will be a tough test, I think, tougher than most think. Obviously, they have an advantage. The Jets' secondary, not very good. Well, you come off a big division win, now you're traveling, you got the bye on deck, so it'll be interesting to see if Pittsburgh comes out this week and does what they're supposed to do. I think this could be a slip-up for them, but if they win this game heading into the bye, it's them, and it looks like they got a chance to win the division. It's pretty shocking.
Definitely a logical flat spot to look to go against Pittsburgh, given how many tight games they've had to play in marquee spots, the Monday nighter, the late afternoon game against the Colts, and the Sunday night game in an always hotly contested rivalry against the Ravens. Man on the other end of the line as we look to reset, he of Pain Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at that name. You can check out all of his great work at paininsider.com. I'm Todd Furman. Follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman, or see some of my work, great, not so great, anywhere in between, at toddstake.com. Payne, always a fun part of the podcast. We take a gander at some of these look-ahead lines and try and project in our crystal ball exactly where the market will move. And one game that really jumps off the page coming into this past week, Falcons were listed as a 2.5-point favorite. Of course, Atlanta doesn't play on a bye coming off of that debacle, for lack of a better term, in London against the Lions. The Bucs go to Cleveland, have a chance to win that game, cover relatively easily as a 7-point dog. But what you see here is Atlanta goes from a 2.5-point favorite to Tampa actually opening a short favorite at Pinnacle before the number has since settled at a pick 'em.
Honestly, it's Monday. I don't really want anything to do with this game at this point in time. I'm really going to have to do some digging on this one. This is one of those games where it doesn't really matter. Throw the power numbers out the window. You really have to find out the psyche of each of these locker rooms. Have they quit on the season? A tough, tough loss Atlanta suffered in London. You come back home, you have the bye week. Their season looks done. Tampa's season's obviously done at this point. Tampa was a team that was pretty resilient. They covered the spread this past week. Should have easily won that game outright. Just so many mistakes. Two teams that just continually shoot themselves in the foot. So you really have to find out, do your reading on this game, which I've yet to do, and you got to kind of gauge the temperature in the locker rooms and see what the players are saying and if they're going to go to bat for their coaches in a season that's all but lost.
Yeah, I mean, and you talk about psyche of a locker room, obviously not going to be the same issue regarding the Denver Broncos in this particular spot. They were boat raced at New England, but you've seen the market adjust. Denver was listed as a 12.5-point favorite for their road trip to Northern California to take on Oakland. That number down to 11, and you and I both spoke before the podcast figuring that that number at 11 probably wasn't going to stick.
Yeah, it's interesting to see this one. I will be shocked if it continues to climb. Now, I'm not really in support of running to the window to fade Peyton Manning off a loss like that, especially against Oakland, but Oakland's been playing better. They've been playing inspired ball, and it's pretty much just that unwritten rule that professionals are going to look to take double digits in the NFL. And when you can factor in a home team, when you can factor in a division game, double digits look mighty appealing.
Yeah, I mean, you always try and take account of that. And in the least surprising news of the day, as we sit here recording this podcast and watch some of these numbers continue to pop, Calvin Johnson officially upgraded to probable. As if sports books were so surprised, you've now seen a number of prominent books take that price off the board or go from 2.5 to 3 for Detroit's game against Miami. Amazing that that wasn't built into the number leading into it, that they needed an injury update on a Monday to try and make that adjustment.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to me. I don't think there was ever any chance that he wasn't going to suit up and play in this game. And we talked about it. I know we're looking ahead on some of these lines. And 2.5, if you can get that, it's a great number. I think it's just a really, really tough spot for Miami this week.
That's for sure. Definitely be somewhere that if Miami can go on the road and win this game, that will be a formidable unit to be dealt with throughout the course of the year. And one last game before we get to the Monday nighter, Kansas City and Buffalo. Buffalo would have been a pick'em on the look-ahead line. Kansas City gets yet another win and is actually listed as a 1.5-point road favorite for their trip to Orchard Park, New York. Have people forgotten what this Bills team is capable of, or are we just caught up in the love for Kansas City, given their ability not only to win football games of late, but cover spreads?
Yeah, Kansas City seems to be the hot team right now. Buffalo off the bye week, and if you know if you do your homework, you'll know that Buffalo is a team the professionals have backed a lot this year. It's a team the professionals love, and I would not be shocked if Buffalo closes the favorite in this spot off the bye week.
Can definitely make a case for this game at the total as you look at that now as well at 42, potentially being an under. Again, the public service announcement for anyone looking to play totals this time of year, please do your homework, check those weather forecasts. And as we saw in that Denver-New England game, what looked like a nor'easter tempted to back the under. As we've seen so many times before, the Patriots, the one team not impacted by negative weather as they hung 43 on Denver. Logical transition, Payne, into tonight's game, a contest that I think we've gone back and forth. We know there's only one side that makes a lot of sense to try and back here. The question is, do you walk to the window with a ticket on the New York Giants as a 3-point home underdog against the Colts? Total in this game sitting anywhere from 50 at some of the more prominent offshores, as high as 52 at some of the recreational books here in Las Vegas.
You know, it's tough right now. Obviously, 3.5, at 3.5, the Giants were the side. At 3, it's a little different situation. When you talk about the total and you talk about weather, for November, this is peak weather condition. So I don't think that should be really factored in. If you're looking to go over this number, the weather should not hinder your like towards the over. I do believe the Giants are the side here. I liked it at 3.5. At 3, I think your best situation is to wait closer to kick if you do like the Giants. Right now, 8 out of every 10 bets are coming in on the road favorite. Have some reservations. Obviously, Jennings is out, but when you talk about this Giants defense that's been so poor this year, Cullen Jenkins remains out. John Beeson is out. So you're talking about defensive tackle, middle linebacker, and that's a lot to absorb. On the flip side, Eric Walden will be out for Indianapolis, so that's tough. All those kind of point to me that the over 50 might be the way to go here. But professionals are on the Giants, and that would be the side look as well.
Yeah, and as you look at this game, I mean, it was interesting talking to a couple sportsbooks earlier and some of the better sites out there to try and aggregate betting data, saying that this is not actually a high-volume game by Monday Night Football standards, which I think both you and I found a little bit surprising to have that discussion when you talk about an up-and-coming superstar in the form of Andrew Luck, if he's not already a superstar at this point, and a very public team and a marquee market in the New York Giants.
Yeah, to me that was pretty surprising. I think obviously now as we record this, it's about 5 o'clock, recreational bettors, public bettors are getting out of work right now. Once they get home and settled, I think we will see an appetite and more volume on this game when you talk about Andrew Luck, when you talk about a New York team. So I think it'll continue to rise. Obviously the NBA is going tonight, so not as much attention on the NFL game, but I think when it's all said and done, the books will need the Giants. Obviously the professionals are evening them out a little bit. But these are the primetime spots when you get love from the public on one side, it's tough to kind of support that side. These are the kind of games, the primetime games, where the public are on one side, professionals on the other, the books are rooting for one side. These are the kind of games that sports books in cities like Las Vegas are built on. So for me, it's Giants or pass.
We'll also remember that there still is some public money that needs to be reinvested after the big showdown between Crystal Palace and Sunderland earlier this afternoon. So,
the official Monday Night Football that doesn't really start at night, right? What time did that game kick off?
Kicks off at noon, my friend. You have to take advantage of every betting market that is out there. And Payne, before I hang up this phone in your face, I wanted to know if there was anything else you wanted to share with some of our loyal listeners before we reconvene for the Thursday podcast, talking about the latest and greatest line moves and some of the best betting opportunities that will be provided for us for the upcoming weekend.
I think you go to the Detroit Lions. I think that's probably a number that you should pick off. I see Pinnacle still sitting at 2.5 minus 15. I think it's probably the wise move to make at this spot.
Yeah, I definitely think it makes a lot of sense here. And as Detroit gets healthier, you talked about the Nick Fairley injury. This is a prime opportunity potentially to go against Miami. Of course, for all those listeners looking to try and beat some of those markets, we tell you to walk, not run to the window. Things are so fluid these days, informational change, and hopefully we'll be able to provide all of that for you on Thursday as we normally do. For Payne Insider, he of PayneInsider.com, I'm Todd Furman. This has been the Monday edition of the Bet the Board podcast. And remember, use the hashtag AskBetTheBoard. Fire tweets our way throughout the course of the week. And unlike last Thursday where we weren't able to get to some of those inquiries, we'll be including all of those in this week's podcast. And for some folks that had good questions, we're going to make sure we get to those as well. In the meantime, best of luck to you on Monday night or any of the other action you choose to bet on Tuesday and Wednesday. And we'll see you at the window.